This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And thank you to Michael for the news, and he'll be back just before Saturday morning at the football with another bulletin of 882 6PR news. Right now, we are here talking a property for Gemmell Homes, and Craig Gemmell stands behind every home he sells, and he, along with Stratco, have once again provided a $100 voucher to be spent at any Stratco outlet. So thanks to Gemmell and Stratco for combining their resources. One of our listeners who calls on 9221882 will qualify for that prize. We'll let you know who wins at the end of the show. Of course, you can send a text if you like to 19999677 or an email to harvey@6pr.com.au. Good morning, Mr. Druitt.
That's quite an introduction, Harvey. Well done.
I'm going back to my chai latte now.
Talking property on this glorious autumn day. Best time of the year in Perth now.
No doubt.
May. Fantastic. And a wonderful day to buy real estate, I would say.
But every day is a wonderful
day. How good
day
is that?
If Cyclone Debbie had been tearing through, you would have said, good idea to get out and have a look now because it's serious buyers coming.
Exactly. And also all that rain, you could make sure the roofs don't leak. There's a positive side to it.
Unbelievable. Now, we have a very special new, if I can call him, new expert in our studios today. And hopefully he'll be able to come on the program regularly to give us an insight into his particular area of expertise in the property market, and that's in valuations. And his name is Brendan Ptolemy from Heron Todd White.
There might be a few in office there.
WA. He's the managing,
well-known valuation firm.
Yes, indeed. And he's the managing director, and he joins us now. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, Harvey. How are you going this morning?
Going well, mate.
And thanks for having me in.
Thanks for agreeing to come in on. He didn't believe me. I said, you're coming in on April the 1st, and he's waiting for
the
call.
It's no joke.
So it's no joke.
And g'day to Ricky Martin, or Rick Martin, we should call him, a mate of mine who works for you guys.
Exactly.
Been with you for a while.
And I did think that the office had set me up. I did think it was going to be cancelled at the last minute.
No chance of that, mate, and welcome aboard. We're enjoying your company already. And, of course, if anyone's got any queries about valuations and how they're arrived at, anything like that, anything that you can answer, I'm sure they'll fire in the questions to you. The obvious first question, I mean, I know we've gone through this before, the difference between a sworn valuation, which is what you guys provide, and just a stab in the dark. I'm sorry, a calculator.
I think you've answered it. appraisal, can I just say, an appraisal is all care but no responsibility.
That's right. Yeah. It's there's a lot of...
Evaluation is all care and lots of responsibility.
Plenty of responsibility. We've got an insurance policy to look after consistently, and we're also licensed under an Act of Parliament in WA, so we've obviously got to make sure that we're on the money as much as possible every single time.
I suppose, to simplify it, and Rob's quite right, getting serious here for just a moment... a lot of hard work goes into appraisals that the real estate agents, they go into a lot of background, all that sort of thing, to come up with an accurate figure. But that's not, it's, at the end of the day, it's a matter of opinion. Whereas yours, if necessary, has to stand up in court, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's correct, Harvey. So the majority of the work that we do will be for banks, so for mortgage security purposes to secure lending, but we do need to be able to stand up in a court of law and put a hand on our heart and say, that's our opinion, and we need to back it up with evidence that we've researched in the marketplace. Yeah.
So there's a lot of similarities.
I was going to ask you, what are the similarities?
But it's still an opinion, and that's the tricky thing. And I have enormous respect for valuers, because as a real estate agent, you can do your appraisal. You still do it as professionally as you can, as close as you can, but you don't have that underlying thing in the back thinking, well, okay, I'm as a valuer, you've got to stand in court law and justify it. Now, certainly you can do that with a lot of properties with a lot of sales evidence, but quite often you'll find a property which is quite unique, has special aspects, there's not a lot of sales evidence, and it requires a lot of judgment.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's where our professional opinion kicks in, and where our research kicks in. We've spent a lot of time talking to you guys as agents to find out what's happening in the market.
We do, very well together, don't we, which we need to, because we're the guys on the ground that you need to talk to know what's happened in the last couple of weeks even.
Exactly, and one of our difficulties is that we always need to talk to settled sales evidence, so even though something's under offer in a marketplace, we need to go and make sure that the market's also saying that those sales that are settled are demonstrating what's happening in the market and demonstrating what the value is, as opposed to something that might be under offer sometimes, might be leading the market, in this case, where we are now, downwards, or in a rising market upwards. We need to make sure that those
That's where you've got to make that call, don't you, where things are going. And there's some real anomalies out there with some of the sales evidence too, and I guess one of the biggest ones is GST, isn't it? Whether GST is inclusive in the price or not can make up to 1/11 or 10% difference in the sale price.
Yeah, as a commercial valuer, our guys spend an enormous amount of time trying to establish where the GST is in that purchase price or outside it, how the transactions occurred, whether the properties are going concern or not, and that can be cost a fair amount of time, and that's where expertise comes into it as well.
And even residentially, we found a situation when we were selling, we sold a number of properties in Mirrabooka for Department of Housing with shared equity. So it actually reflected on the sale the 70% purchase price because 30% was retained as equity by the state government to help young people get into property and so on. So it was showing the 70% as a sale price, but it's not actually reflective of the value.
Yeah. Yeah, so we actually do a lot of those valuations for Department of Housing and for Keystart Home Loans. And we need to go into a property and assess where the tenant's improvements are and then obviously assess where the full value is and then work out from there where the split comes from, the 70% to the 30%.
Great. You're an instant success, Brendan, because already we've got a question for you from Andy. G'day, Andy.
Valuation.
G'day, Andy.
Good morning, Brendan. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Brendan, I gave a piece of land to my son in East Kennington. And I have done two valuation from two licensed valuers, not appraisal, two valuation. They value the land around 1.25, about 1.15 and 1.20. Now, the value general, he valued the land at much higher price. Now, those two people, when they come and they done the valuation, they actually look to the land, they look to the property before the land, they look to see if the land can be subdividable today or not, which is not. It is, some people, they call it is a locked development site. And then, eventually, the value, valuer general, then he start moving from his price from 1.8 to 1.6 to 1.4, believe me, like that, over the phone, until he said, look, I'm going to make it 1.35. And trust me, believe me, that's what happened.
Yep.
And over the phone, he reduced the price from 1.8 to 1.35. Then I have paid the stamp duty in 1.35.
The valuation, do you mean the land tax? Do you mean, Andy, land tax?
No, the value general.
Yeah, value general assesses it, and often that's what they base from the land tax on.
Yeah, I think it's for the stamp duty for the transfer.
For the transfer, was it, to your son?
Yep.
Yes. So, no. I'm giving him the land. I'm just giving him the land.
You still got to pay the stamp duty, unfortunately, your son on the purchase.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yep. So, that's the problem now. I paid stamp duty in 1.35, while the two other valuers, they actually valued my land at 1.15 and 1.2. So, what is my right? What I can do? And, you know, it's a government department. You can fight with the government, and unfortunately...
you can fight with the government. People do. Whether you win or not is another thing, but don't think you can't.
So what's my right? What I can do actually to convince that department what they have done is not right.
Yeah.
Especially the land, it has no deep sewer, it has no underground, and the two property before my land, they must develop their own before I develop mine.
Yeah, so Andy, you've probably got a development site there, knowing East Kennington. You've also got a very lucky son in terms of being gifted some land. Look, one of the things you can do is go back to the Valuer General's office, and I'd start there and set up a meeting with them and just discuss the issue. And then you can take it from there if you need to. If you don't get a satisfactory outcome, there are methods to be able to appeal from there. And then you would obviously be taking in your valuation reports.
I was going to say, what have you got in writing in regards to a sworn valuation?
I think you got two, haven't you, Andy? Two sworn valuations.
Well, one was on the phone, wasn't it? He just kept moving the goalpost.
I have two
valuations.
Oh. Yeah,
so you've got two independent valuations. Well, you'd think Well, but yep. you think that would hold some weight. I mean, that they're independent valuations you've paid for
yep.
to and show the value of the property.
Yeah, and so there is an appeal process with the valuer generals. I'd definitely be starting that process, and especially if you've got two vals in writing, to go in there and talk that through with them. And I'm guessing, Rob, you probably know those stamp duty rates off the top of your head a bit better than me, but around 1.3 is about $65,000 plus.
Yeah,
Andy, have you got anything in writing from the valuer generals department? I mean, there was that conversation saying, "Well, let's settle on such and such." But is there anything in writing that you've got?
No, I already paid the stamp duty. I finished already? Now. I need to complain now.
Oh.
Property transferred, or have they just done an assessment?
The problem with that is not only the stamp duty. The stamp duty is the small factor of it. The other problem is actually the capital gain you are going to pay on that as well.
Capital gain and also the assessed value from the Valuer General's office for land tax for your son once he takes over ownership of the property as well.
No more land tax. Once my son takes over, that's it. Finish. It's his own property. That's how he will live in the house.
Okay. There's a house there, is there? So he can live there?
Yes, there is, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's good. Okay. Yes, well, look, I would be, as Brendan said, you need to get together with the Valuer General's Office and Office of State Revenue and put your case that you've had it independently valued and this is where you see the value.
Thank you, sir.
Hopefully you'll be able to convince them. I mean, you've got the ammunition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you've done the right thing in terms of getting a sworn valuation and getting two straight up, Andy. That puts yourself in a
very
good position.
Would you, gentlemen, agree? It was a bit of a sloppy way of handling it from the value. If that was exactly what happened, the Valuer General's department just over the phone saying, "Oh, well, hang on, let's toss a coin." Okay, well, this is close enough.
I suppose at least they're prepared to compromise. Yeah. But I think it needs something a bit more sophisticated than sitting down with them and saying, "Here are two sworn valuations.
Exactly.
Here's the sales evidence they've used, and therefore that's where we see the value."
Yeah, it would have been a pretty difficult property of value because it would have development potential there, Harvey. So the value difference could be based on the cost to develop that property. So the Valuer General's Office have their own valuers there in there. They would have done their own market research. So I can see how they might have come up with a different number to begin with, but
So the way to short circuit all of that would have been to have gone to Heron Todd White in the first place.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
But in defence of the Valuer Generals, I have found them to be fairly compromising. And previously, when you get land tax bills and the markets come back, and you ring them and say, "Hey, wait a minute, why are we gone up here?" But they do want evidence, and that's a little thing for people. When you get your next land tax bill, which won't be for a little while, the next one, values have come back, and I'd be looking at it very carefully and lodging a variation on that because I think the value should be coming back in land tax.
Good on you. Thanks very much, Andy. You are our clubhouse leader at the moment for the $100 Stratco voucher. We'd like a bit of competition, though, so 922-11-882 is the number.
We're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
Hi listeners, it's Simon Beaumont here. Monday on the afternoon show, we give away an incredible CD pack as part of our world famous music quiz. Do you have what it takes to get a music question right? This fella, Robin Scott, is having a birthday. He had a massive hit with this song. What name did he use when he recorded pop music? All you have to do is call in, be part of the music quiz on Monday.
Simon Beaumont, tomorrow from midday on 882 6PR. Or catch up now at 6pr.com.au.
Only Aveling Developments can build your beautiful three-bedroom, two-bathroom unit from only $119,000. Only $119,000. Call Aveling Developments now on 6144-1002. Conditions apply, BR12788.
What happens when a club with more than 260,000 members aged 50 and over decides to create a life insurance offer just for its members? 50 Up Life Insurance happens, that's what. The 50 Up Club is now offering its members its own range of life insurance covers. Join now at 50upclub.com.au to get a 20% saving for the life of the policy. Get a quick quote at 50upclub.com.au. 50-up life insurance cover is issued by Australian-owned, award-winning Noble Oak Life Limited and subject to underwriting processes. Any general advice provided by Noble Oak does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. To ensure this cover is right for you, please read the PDS at 50upclub.com.au. City Toyota.
The all-new Toyota CHR is here, featuring a multitude of safety features like blind spot monitoring, all combined with a contoured and contemporary design. And right now at City Toyota, you'll also get 5 years fixed price servicing. Test drive the CHR today. Visit citytoyota.net.au. City Toyota. We're your number one. DL12195.
See a cold or flu coming? See that you pick up Healthy Care Vitamin C from Chemist Warehouse. See how it may reduce the frequency, severity and durations of symptoms. See how it's Australian made and see its great price. Healthy Care Vitamin C 500 milligram chewable 500 tabs is only $19.99. Always read the label, use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see a healthcare professional. Chemist Warehouse, lowest prices guaranteed. It's WA Will Week. Where's your will? Don't risk dying intestate if your will can't be found or accessed after you've gone. Store your will free in the Public Trustee's WA Will Bank. Over 100,000 Western Australians have entrusted the Public Trustee to safely and confidentially hold their wills until they are needed. Need to make or update your will? The Public Trustee can help with that too. Call us today on 1300 746 116 or visit our website. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
Avanti Plus massive car park bike sale on this weekend across three locations. Avanti Plus Cannington, Avanti Plus Rockingham and Avanti Plus Morley. Incredible savings across Perth's largest range of bikes and bike accessories. Bikes and helmet, bike pumps, bike locks, bike lights, bike clothing. In fact, savings are store-wide. Plus, huge savings on all road bikes. Head to Avanti Plus Cannington, Avanti Plus Rockingham or Avanti Plus Morley this weekend for their massive car park bike sale. Avanti Plus, your one-stop bike shop in three locations.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello.
I wish we were not talking gardening. We're actually talking property. And we're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he sells. Don't forget that Stratco voucher, $100 Stratco voucher made possible by Gemmell Homes and Stratco going to one of our listeners. It is time now, however, for our DeFratis and Ryan property report that we bring to you each and every Saturday morning. Rod Ryan joins us. G'day, Rod.
Yeah, g'day, Harvey. G'day, Rob. G'day, Brendan.
Good morning.
And,
good morning,
Rod. Of course, you and Miguel were actually in the studio last week. Just following on a little bit from that discussion, Rob, you'd remember this, the question of auctions versus private treaty came up quite a bit.
Yes.
It's an interesting subject, and we should just talk a little bit more about it, Rod.
Yeah, I think so, Harvey. And I think the time's probably very relevant to talk about it at the moment as well. And as you said, last week we were talking about it in the studio, and Rob was saying, and I agree with him 100%, that what determined the type of property here in Perth that should be auctioned was the motivation of the seller. And since then, I've really found myself wanting to take this a little further, as the public need to be aware that whilst Perth's market overall is quite, you know, quite soft at the moment, there's signs that it may even soften a little further. There are pockets and suburbs that are defying that trend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as a result, Harvey, we've recognised that it's very much in the interest of the property sellers in certain circumstances to consider auctioning their properties to ensure they receive the right price and, in some instances, outstanding prices. And our company auctioned a mixed business zone commercial property last Wednesday at 804 North Lake Road in Coburn Central. We had spirited bidding and we sold it under the hammer for $926,000.
Wow. I heard the auctioneer was pretty busy that day.
He was busy, yes. And,
not the man sitting near me.
No, Rod was.
Oh, you were, the Rod. Oh.
Now, hopefully I'll be busy again at 12 o'clock. We've got a deceased estates development site at 9 Quince Way in Coobla.
Ooh.
And we believe this one will go well as well.
So, I mean, everyone knows, and we've been banging on about this for a long time, Rod, that it's definitely a buyer's market. So, essentially, though, what you're saying, in a sense, it's a seller's market if you know the right areas to pursue.
Yeah, this is where the agent's got to be very on the ball with what he's doing, because, like, I'll just give you an example. There was a property that was put up for sale in South Fremantle just a few weeks ago. I won't go into the figures. It wasn't through our agency. But that particular property had a huge home open. It was on at a set figure, and following the home open, that particular property sold for many, many thousands of dollars more because there was people prepared to pay over the asking price.
Sounds like they should have auctioned it.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to sort of, you know, get on board with this, because there are these pockets and areas where there's not a lot of property for sale and there's a very, very strong demand for it. And so that's where, I mean, I'm tomorrow, for example, I'm on the way down to Busselton to, you know, we've been asked to auction a property down there, 150-acre farm. I've got, you know, young Luke from our Wanneroo office. He's off to Gilderton to have a look at a property up there that they want us to auction, which has got, you know, 200-degree ocean views. And so these particular special sort of properties in special areas are really doing very, very well under the hammer. And so I just feel that people should be, you know, made very much aware of this, and to put the auction side of things, you know, very high on the agenda, you know, when they're starting to think about selling their property.
Yeah, that makes sense. Rod, I know you keep a close eye on the Melbourne market, or you keep a close eye on all markets, and we know that there's some interaction between the two markets. What happens over there can flow on here, et cetera. What is happening in the eastern states?
Well, what's happening in the eastern states? I don't know about Sydney so much, but Melbourne, of course, we've got interest there. And as I mentioned, there's a similar property sold 3 months ago for $690,000, a unit in a complex in May Street, I think it was, Doncaster East. And the same unit basically next door has just sold 3 months later for $150,000 more. Now, that can't be done. That's crazy stuff. But what I will mention to you, Harvey, is my brother-in-law is a commercial agent for a company called CVA, and Brendan's probably heard of them as well, over in Victoria. And they auctioned a property, a commercial property, in the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne last Wednesday, at the same time we were doing our auction. But that particular property sold for in excess of $1 million more than, you know, what their estimates were.
Sure.
And so in situations where there's a question mark, and I heard on the radio before I came on air here that some of these properties, as Brendan would know, it's hard to sort of analyse what the figure is. And so those ones, again, should be auctioned, because, you know, this property sold for literally $1 million, you know, more than what was anticipated.
Mm. Yeah, good advice. Rod, where can people obtain more information about the sort of topics that you've raised today on the show, and, of course, for general queries?
Yes, well, our agency's DeFratis and Ryan in Coburn. We've got five offices throughout Western Australia, but you can catch me on 9499 6000, 9499 6000.
Good on you, Rod. Good to talk to you, mate, and we'll do it all again next week with you or one of your colleagues.
Look forward to it, Harvey. Thanks very much.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers,
that's
Rod.
That's Rod Ryan, and with the DeFratis and Ryan Property Report. Now, gentlemen, I do have an email here. It's from Marie, and Marie says, will there be smaller block sizes available for building around 150 to 200 square metres in closer to city suburbs like Wembley Downs in the future, like what is occurring in Ellenbrook, micro-block sizes to extend to the inner suburbs?
It's a very good question. It's interesting that they've done that with more of the outlying areas, up through the northern suburbs and so on, haven't they, Brendan, with some of these new land subdivisions, whereas the traditional sort of inner city or middle ring areas, and Wembley Downs is a good example, which have traditionally been R20 single residential or duplex blocks with the larger blocks, they haven't gone down that path. To a degree, they have in some areas. City Beach, there's a little area off the boulevard there that they did some very small blocks.
Some of that infill development.
It's mostly with new land subdivision, isn't it, in established areas, rather than rezoning the existing areas through there.
Yeah. So there's a fair amount of resistance, I think, that we'd all be aware of that, of the kind of not in my own backyard type resistance to those smaller lots. And that's fair enough.
It is in some respects, isn't it? Because people buy into those areas quite often because they are single residential, and that's the very reason.
Yeah, and so they've gone to that suburb because they like the leafy street and the space. And it's very difficult to come in over the top as a council and say, look, we're going to make this a high-density area. What we have seen is...
Cambridge knows from there.
Absolutely.
There'd be a lot there. Involved, though, wouldn't there? Because a lot of these very small lots have rear loading properties, and therefore you need laneways, and therefore...
Laneways and so on. Yeah. Exactly.
They aren't in existence in some of the older suburbs.
A bit smarter about it in the sense of looking at the areas and where you've got shopping centres, busy roads, these sort of areas they should be targeting specifically. And I think that's where Cambridge got into a bit of trouble, didn't they? And huge resistance with their proposal for duplex blocks through City Beach and so on, because it was blanket across the whole suburb.
Yeah, exactly. And what we think as valuers is that they should bring that that density to infrastructure areas. So if you've got a train station, I know there's some policies out there around that, but it always surprises me that we're more interested in building car parks around train stations than actually putting density there. And then in those established areas, bringing that density to strip shopping areas, maybe the bus, where the bus routes are running, because density actually brings life to those areas and it makes it a nicer place to live as you go forward. Makes the cafe viable, the local pub viable, the local restaurant viable.
It provides diversity in the suburb rather than the blanket change across the whole suburb, which you're not going to get the approval of the residents.
No, you're not. All right, good. 9221882. We've got some room on the board for you. Carol of Manning, you'll be up next.
We're talking property. For Gemmell Homes, Craig stands behind every home he builds. Ben and Jerry's Open Air Cinemas are back in the city until April 2. Supported by 6PR, they're bringing the hottest new releases and Oscar winners to Ozone Reserve off Riverside Drive. Every Sunday is a Sunday session with live music and free Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now that's cool. Capacity is limited, so book early at openaircinemas.com.au. Details on the events page at 6pr.com.au.
A BMW is built to be driven, not parked. Like the BMW X5 S-Drive 25D from $89,900 drive away. And with flexible finance options available, it's time to visit a BMW dealer today. Terms and conditions apply.
A property market update with Dr. Andrew Wilson. Thanks to Domain, Australia's best property app. Find your perfect home on the Domain app or at domain.com.au.
Perth clearly remains a buyer's market, but we are starting to see some early signs of increased demand from buyers, particularly in higher priced inner suburban areas. Those buyers are perceiving that it's a good opportunity to move into a trade-up market where the challenges, yes, are finding a buyer for their existing property, but once that challenge is met, they can then move into a higher price range, taking advantage of those lower interest rates. And we are starting to see some results in terms of higher prices growth in those inner suburban prestige areas of Perth. So early days yet, but no doubt some better signs for the Perth housing market moving through the early autumn selling season.
Finding your perfect home is easy with Domain. Download Australia's best property app or visit domain.com.au.
You may remember last week we had a chat to Amaro Vello, WA sales manager for Mervac, and we found him on the balcony of a Latitude apartment on Leighton Beach. He is back there this morning. How are you going, Amaro?
Yeah, good, thanks, Harvey. How are you?
You really know where to position yourself, don't you, mate? I think the view is much better there than it is in our studios here, to be honest.
Mate, the view here is absolutely stunning. You're quite correct.
People are downsizing, aren't they? And downsizing to an oceanfront apartment such as the ones we're talking about with you, I just don't know. What is there not to love about that?
Yeah, look, you'd be hard-pressed to beat it, hey? But like everything, there are costs involved. You've got to pack up and sell your home, then you've got to arrange the move. However, look, we're helping buyers out with the cost of their agent selling fees, their packing and their removalist costs, and up to 3 months storage.
Well, that's a great help, no doubt. Why is Latitude attracting so many buyers, do you think, Amaro?
Harvey, well, look, apart from its absolute beachfront location, there's all the nearby amenities, including the train station, and you're only minutes from the heart of Frio.
Sounds amazing. So when is Latitude due for completion?
It could be soaking up the Sunset Ocean View by the end of this year. You'll want to be quick, though, as these apartments will be snapped up. So look, if I can say, please call us now on 9 424-9999.
Well, I've got to ask the all-important question, Amaro. Just how much is an oceanside apartment at Latitude Leighton Beach?
Harvey, this is the exciting part. You could be living oceanside from just $499,000.
Well, a beachside apartment from $499,000. Where do we sign?
Well, always welcome to come down to the display this afternoon.
Good on you, mate. So we know where it is, and it's been nice chatting to you, Amaro, and you have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, mate. You too.
Thanks, mate. That's Amaro Vello, and there you have it. So for more information, head to latitude.mervac.com.
I wish that I knew what I know now.
The more you live, the more you know. So Apia want you to share the experiences of a life well lived through Apia's Experience Exchange. This is your chance to pass on the things that you know now that you wish you'd known when you were younger. Share them online at experienceexchange.com.au and everyone can benefit.
Experienceexchange.com.au. Apia. Because we know, you know.
Got a real estate question? Call now, 922-11-882.
That is the number, and waiting patiently online is Carol from Manning. How are you, Carol?
Well, thanks, and good morning to everyone.
What can we do for you?
Regarding the conversation and discussions this morning about if people disagree with the valuations on which their land tax assessments have been based, you know, that they it suggested they appeal if they consider that the current values are much lower. Yeah. Just a comment I've that I think might be relevant here from what I've encountered in over the years, that with the land tax being based on the unimproved land value, it's as if no buildings are on it, and
correct.
That it's not the current resale market value. But the further complication is, if you get your land tax assessment in, say, January 2017, that's actually based on your land holding at 30th of June 2016, but that's actually based...
The
value is actually based on the valuations that the department conducted in August 2015. And so when you want to lodge an appeal, you can't just say, well, today's value is such and such in April 2017. They'll only discuss it based on, is the value at August 2015 the correct value? And if you can prove that it was less then compared to what they've done it on, that's when they'll adjust it. But if you just say, but look, it's currently only worth this, they'll say it's not relevant. And that's a real problem in a decreasing... market. It might be if your experience of what the value is at that stage was is that you think theirs was too high because and you think it should be lower. You might be able to perhaps argue that look, it's currently this, or we've actually you know that you might have proof that it currently is, and say see that's a continuing trend downwards.
Mm.
But you can't just say today's value is this, and they won't just roll over and change the assessment because they're really talking about August 2015.
Carol, you are 100% right, and if you're writing an assignment essay for a land tax or taxes at Real Estate 101 at university, I would have given you a high distinction there. That is exactly correct, and we were talking about this off-air, and this makes it very difficult because it does relate almost to 18 months earlier value. So next year when we get our tax, or it will be later this year, I should say, because generally they come out around anywhere between November, it would start coming out about November this year, that will relate to, yes, 30 June, 17, but will relate to the value August last year.
Mm.
So that's when you've got to look at your values. And but certainly between August 15 and August 16, there has been a reduction in prices of somewhere between 5 and 10%, depending on the type of property.
Yep. And Carol, valuers are able to go back and do a retrospective valuation. So we are more than happy to come back and look at that at that snapshot in time of August 2015. And obviously, as Rob's alluding to, it might even be worth people having a look at what their market values are now or over the next six months in terms of what their assessments are going to be into the future. So even take your own snapshot at this point in time, get a valuation done, bearing in mind, as Carol has pointed out, we're talking about the underlying land value, not the improved property.
Yes, no improvement, it's just the land.
Good on you, Carol. Great call. We move now to Jack of Bedford. G'day, Jack.
Harvey. Harvey, I just heard one of your listeners ring in with regards to stamp duty and the related party transfer. What should have happened there is that it should have been sent to the Office of State Revenue for duty assessment. With that valuation, the Office of State Revenue would have assessed it on the licence valuation. So what the client will now need to do is put an application in for reassessment, quote the bundle ID number that he has paid stamp duty on, provide the valuation, and he will get that reassessed at the licensed valuation which he's been provided with.
Very good point, Jack. And, yeah, surprisingly, they didn't go through that process to start with because and you need extra time, don't you, when you've got related party transactions so that you can go through that process.
Yep. And, Jack, I think the point there is get the valuation done yourself by a licensed valuer and present that to the Office of State Revenue yourself up front. Not sure what happened in that other case in terms of that process, but that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. But also, if you go through a settlement agent, the settlement agent can upload that valuation and get the assessment far quicker. They can also... complete that transaction online, and if they're an e-conveyancing firm, they can then complete that transaction online by the property exchange platform known as PEXA. It's a far quicker process, and once that goes through, within an hour after that transaction completed, the customer would have the title in his name as well.
Yep. Good on you. Thank you.
I'm giving
much,
you a
Jack.
High distinction as well.
Yeah,
well done, Jack.
We've
got thank
some
you for that.
Good students coming through today.
Very, very much so. Morning, gents, says James. Morning, gents. I've a 3x2, this is a text, on 493 square metres in Buxton Road, Wembley Downs. How do you see the area performing at the moment, and would you have rough ballpark figure of value of property, and is it worth holding?
Right.
Well, probably no is the answer. I mean, probably no, you can't exactly give a...
It'd be a little bit difficult. It's a single story, a double story. If it's... Buxton's a lovely spot there, leafy Wembley Downs, and that's, you know, nice size, depends how old the home is, and whether it's single story or double story. But roughly, single level, say it's relatively modern, is going to be a million plus, somewhere in the 1 to 1.2, depending how well fitted out and so on. And then if it's a large, it's a 3x2, so perhaps it's single level. But if it's a large townhouse, it could be north of 1.2. Two up to 1.4, depending on the age and so on, but would be more than a million for sure, I would think, depending on the age though, if it's an older one through there. But there is some really nice new development through Buxton. Would you hang on to it? If you're happy living there, absolutely, it's a beautiful place. Prices have come back a bit through the area, but not as hard hit through Wimby Downs as say other areas throughout Perth.
Yeah, and Rob, we're seeing the western suburbs picking up at the moment. There's an undersupply through the western suburbs. When we're talking about auctions before, there's been a couple of very good auction results through Cottesloe in the last few weekends, indicating undersupply in there.
A lot of sellers are boycotting the market, aren't they? Because prices, you know, they're not where they were 2013, 2007.
Yep.
And so we don't have the stock levels. So if you are thinking of moving on, you might find it's not that bad a time to sell if you're certainly prepared to meet the market.
Yeah, and James should probably do a little bit of research, see what else is on in that marketplace. If he wanted to sell quickly, now might be the time to do that, but he's not going to maximise value at the market at the moment.
Way to go. Okay, Shane is next. He's out of Claremont. G'day, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good.
I'm an agent, so I just wanted to...
we're going to hold that against you.
No. A lot of the properties we're selling at the moment, or people are looking to sell, they bought in sort of 2007, sort of 2009, and you're talking about four-unit sites, sort of your Gosnells, your Thornley areas. And I just want to make sure a lot of the buyers are not aware of some of the fees. So we're going to sell them, say, 10 years later, and they're actually under what they paid, but a lot of agents sort of probably don't know the development process, not disclosing that they may be up for POSs and developer contributions. And some of these clients just think they've got a sort of basic four-unit site, and then they're up for over 100,000, which I don't necessarily agree with. I'd like to hear your thoughts on POS on already developed areas.
Well, get me started on that. I'm almost as furious about that as I am land tax and stamp duty. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
For small sites like that, it's absurd. It's absurd that council should be looking at public open space contribution. It just doesn't make sense.
Yep, and Shane, that's from a value point of view, that's where we often find that there's a large difference between, say, a vendor's expectations and us coming in as valuers and saying, well, actually the market value is this because there are a whole lot of costs that need to come out of that gross realisation that they think they're going to achieve for their property. And we come in and say, look, there's development costs to come out of there, and so the real value of this property that's going to sell into the marketplace is X, not Y.
Yeah, and look, you bring up a very good point, Shane. Agents need to be very careful prescribing a particular development potential for a property because, on the surface it might be 1,000 square metres, R40, four-unit site, but there could be other things involved, be it easements, other council requirements and so on, which might make it difficult, access and egress, to actually develop four on the site, plus, as you mentioned, all the other costs potentially, which maybe don't stack up. I think there is still a degree of caving into or to a degree with developers that, you know, they do their own research. And that's why I think, you know, particularly good for a seller, if you auction the property, you make it very clear, you know, you don't overstate the development potential, just say development potential, make your own inquiries, we're selling it as is, and let it go to market.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Thank you very much indeed. Shane, just about in to use a footy term, the last quarter of Talking Property. And, of course, after the show, after Michael's news at 10 o'clock, we will have Saturday morning at the football with Carl and the boys. But in the meantime, your calls, 9221 882. Call now or it might be just a little bit too late. Before we do go to the break, gents, not a signed text here, but nonetheless, is there any difference in price that you get for a deceased estate? Does it generally sell cheaper or does it make no difference at all?
I can answer that, but I'll let you go first.
I've had experience with this myself recently. I had to act as an executor of an estate and sell a property. I, funnily enough, got a valuation by one of my colleagues before we did it. And we achieved above that valuation in terms of selling the property. It actually does depend on the property. A lot of the time, depending on location, deceased estates will get auctioned so that the estate is very confident that they've maximised the value in terms of the return on the property. Often people will come looking for a bargain, but what we would find as valuers is often those properties probably aren't as well presented as maybe something that's been lived in and actively maintained, and so that's where some of the effect can come on the value. I would say that you're hoping that there isn't a difference and that your agent's not really doing the job that they should be doing if you're not achieving the maximum value for the property.
Yeah, but it is, in marketing terms, it's gold to say a deceased estate.
Yep.
And I'd say that to my sellers, you know, if you can, if you're comfortable with it, let's advertise a deceased estate. It shows motivation, then the buyers will participate and then it'll sell for market value.
Yeah.
Okay, very good indeed. All right, Colin of Riverton, you will be first up after the break.
We're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
Port Adelaide.
Broadbent, he's dangerous from wide out. Kick bounces in the goal square.
Gone through.
And bounces through for a goal.
Unbelievable goal.
Fremantle.
Now Daniel Pearce on attacking 50. Onto that left foot, it's off there. A couple of steps. He strikes it nicely and splits the middle.
It's Sunday afternoon football live from the Adelaide Oval. Join Adam Papalia, Drew Morford and Brad Hardy from 2 as the power clash with the Dockers. The 2017 Toyota AFL Premiership season is proudly presented by Metal West Recycling, offering cash for scrap and yes loans. They say yes more often. 6PR is football.
A BMW is built to be driven, not parked. Like the BMW 330i sedan with Sportline from $69,900 drive away. And with flexible finance options available, it's time to visit a BMW dealer today. Terms and conditions apply.
What happens when a club with more than 260,000 members, aged 50 and over, decides to create a life insurance offer just for its members? 50 Up Life Insurance happens, that's what. The 50 Up Club is now offering its members its own range of life insurance covers. Join now at 50upclub.com.au to get a 20% saving for the life of the policy. Get a quick quote at 50upclub.com.au. 50 Up Life Insurance Cover is issued by Australian-owned, award-winning Noble Oak Life Limited and subject to underwriting processes. Any general advice provided by Noble Oak does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. To ensure this cover is right for you, please read the PDS at 50upclub.com.au.
I've seen this car I really like. Can you get my loan approved quickly?
Yes, we can.
Is it true that you guarantee no interest rate rises for the term of my loan?
Yes, that's true.
I know you do car loans, but would you give me a loan to buy a caravan?
Yes, or a truck, motorbike, bobcat or boat, a wood chipper or cherry picker, or most plant and equipment. Call now on 947 23000 or apply online at yesloans.com.au. At Yes Loans, we say yes more often.
The Celebrity Millennium 6PR Garden Cruise and Tour of Japan with me, Sue McDougal, is almost booked out. Join me and many others this September for our first ever 19-day cruise exploring Japan's world-famous traditional gardens and visiting spectacular destinations like Tokyo, Kyoto, Nagasaki and more. There's only a few spots remaining.
Call 1-800-033-436 or visit travelright.com.au.
Discover Domain City West, Perth's furniture and bedding specialist. Discover Domain's exclusive style and quality. Lounges, dining, outdoor furniture, lamps, rugs, mirrors and more. The latest designs for every home. Discover stunning displays of bedroom furniture, bed linen and a complete range of mattresses and ensembles from Australia's leading brands. Discover the best service, value and advice. Domain City West, under the dome next to SciTech and Harvey Norman, with free, easy parking 7 days a week.
If I invited you to spend time at a place with a heated pool and spa, a gym, restaurant, coffee shops, bowling green, mini golf, cinema, hairdresser, a magnificent clubhouse, all in landscaped gardens, you'd probably picture yourself in a premium resort. Well, you wouldn't be wrong. Except you'd be at St. Ives Murdoch Retirement Village. So come and see today why life here is for living. Visit stivesretirementliving.com.au.
Buying, selling or renting. Get Perth's best real estate advice now. Call 922-11882.
Coming up to 8 minutes to 10 after 10 o'clock news, it's Saturday morning at the footy, Carl.
Yes, Harv, in our last show this morning due to scheduling changes here on 6PR, so more lifestyle shows coming your way, obviously real estate and those sorts of programs. So if you want to join us today, we've only got a 45-minute window this morning. So, yeah, if you don't like the change, you can ring us and tell us after 10, 922-1882. But we do have a few things. You blokes might laugh, but I'm serious. So, yeah, if you've got a few blokes... things that you'd like to talk about, including last night's footy, today's match coming up, your Hawks in action, then we'll do it for the last time this morning.
I know what one of the topics is going to be, the forced behind rule.
Forced behind, third man up, the structural review of WA footy, Richmond, can they keep it going, Collingwood, will Buckley get the arse, I mean the sack, Ross Lyon, I heard Kim Hagdorn say was in the queue, so yeah, we'll try and talk about that in our last 45-minute show.
Okay, come on, you go. That's a bombshell. breaking news, Colin of Riverton, g'day Colin.
Good morning guys, how are you all?
Good morning, Colin. Fire away.
I've got a daughter who's been renting a semi-government unit, villa, adjoining another villa. 6 weeks ago, she could smell stuff in the bedroom. She's got a four-poster bed with furniture in there, and she couldn't work out what it was. So anyhow, she stepped out of the bed, and the floor started squashing. They're vinyl asbestos tiles. What happened was there's some leaks in the cavity. She rang this crowd up, and they keep on changing their managers all the time, and they sent out a person to fix this leak up, and the water, she found all this mould all over the walls, right alongside the power points. She couldn't walk on the floor because it would squash up with all the glue and water. Then they got another guy out and fixed up two other leaks. Then they found another leak out of a pipe going down the cavity to the next door neighbours. They said, well, they can't do anything until they contact the owners of that property to get permission to come in. They knocked a hole in my daughter's bedroom wall. She had to shift everything out. All the clothes in the wardrobe, we kept on checking. All the clothes and shoes were all gone mouldy. The bed
So are you asking who's responsible for this? Are you? We've got to get an answer, Colin. We're running out of time.
Yes. Okay, well, what redress has she got? They keep on changing these managers all the time. She can't live in there. Has she redressed for 6 weeks? She hasn't been able to live in the place.
Oh,
she's doing a course. She's almost broken down and she's almost in a mental state.
I'd say almost, you could almost say that the lease is frustrated because if it's not habitable, then you really need to talk to them about perhaps expiring the lease and she moves on because that's an exorbitant period of time not be able to live in the property. It is the landlord's responsible, whether it's government or whatever. Obviously, they're trying to address it, but I would think that the thing to do is to sit down with them, explain the situation and see whether she can be released from the lease so that she can move on because 6 weeks is way too long. And obviously, there's major repairs that need to be done there.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your call, Colin. Last question is off-air question. Rosa asks, is it possible to sell a house that's partially renovated?
It certainly is possible. It's not recommended for a number of reasons. One is obviously people can't quite see, or fair enough, they look at it and think, well, it's only half finished, so they will discount it more than what probably the inherent value is. And I think it's certainly valuation issues, isn't it, with banks and so on, because if you get...
Rob, you'd be surprised how often we would go into a house and someone started a renovation on the weekend. We recommend that you get your valuation done on your house before you start renovating it. Because
you've
that's
got to take that into account. There's no kitchen because but the IKEA kitchen's coming.
It's coming, good on you. all right, thank you very much. Now, just before we go, Carol of Manning is our winner today of the $100 Stratco voucher. Thanks to Stratco and Gemmell Homes. Now, tell us, how do we get in touch with you, Brendan, and your colleagues at Heron Todd White?
HTW.com.au, Harvey. And we have our monthly property reports up on our brand new website that's gone live today. So people might want to check that out.
More breaking news today, Good on you, mate. Well, thanks for coming in, Brendan. And you've built a rod for your own back, mate. You're going to go on high rotation, I reckon. Rob, what do you reckon?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's very good to have
thanks for having me, guys. Really enjoyed the show.
You're very welcome. And got a lot of calls. Now, what's happening with Drew
at not an overly busy week. I've got no auctions this weekend. It's amazing. But I do have some amazing apartments down at Edgehill Street at Scarborough in the low 500s, which are the best price in Scarborough for a two-bed, two-bathroom, walking distance to the beach, open at 12.
Excellent. Good on you, boys. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Andrew back in the producer's chair today. Stand by now for the news and Saturday morning at the football.
We're